everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. Steph is off. She had her teeth extracted today, 30 years after she was told she needed it done. So better late than never, as people like to say. I want to thank our guests from Radio Labyrinth Presents, who Jeff lined up for us last week. And of course, that would be the Josh Joplin Group, consisting of two members, Josh Joplin and Greg Malkonian.
That's not his name.
It is his name.
That's not his name.
It is his name.
Jeff Malkonian.
I said it right.
No, you said Greg.
Jeff Malkonian.
And it was only two of them. There's four people in the band.
I said only two of them. I said two of them. So I was correct about that, but I was wrong about George Malkonian. Tell everybody where Jeff, what his concepts are.
He owns Breadwinner Cafe in Sandy Springs and Farm to Ladle, mm-hmm. which is in like Avalon, and there's one in the Chattahoochee Food Works.
Nice. Those guys were cool. I went in the next morning after we recorded it and spoke to Steve Craig of 99X and now the River fame. And he said he remembered those guys well. And then he goes, I got to try to get a free ticket to that, which is what you hear exclusively from radio people, you know, especially people who've been in radio a long time and were used to getting free tickets. And now it's like, yeah, I don't know if we're going to have enough. Why don't you come to us on the day of the show? And if there's any that aren't picked up by listeners, you can have them. But I'm talent. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay, fuck.
Five for Fighting and Verve Pipe were going to be playing at that Fred Amphitheater this summer.
Uh-huh.
I was like, who do I know that could give me a free ticket for that?
You're going to go to that?
I'd go to that.
I don't know anything by Five for Fighting.
Yeah, you do. They had that Superman song. You know, the Verve Pipe. They had that one song.
Oh, yeah.
What, the Bittersweet Symphony?
Freshman.
Oh.
No, that was Verve.
So it's the Verve and the Verve Pipe.
Right.
Yeah, I used to get in trouble playing with the Verve Pipe.
Yeah, I know you did.
I played with all the members of the Verve's Pipes, and then I ended up joining the Verve Pipe, and that's where that comes from. Last time I was at the Fred, I saw 10,000 Maniacs.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. The Fred's a nice little venue.
It Where's is.
It down in Peachtree City.
Oh, that amphitheater, yeah.
Yeah,
you can drive your golf cart there if you live in Peachtree City, Georgia. People, they have golf cart tracks, and you can ride around and, you know, get drunk on your golf cart.
Yes, that's the only place in the country where kids ask for a golf cart before they ask for a car.
Yeah, can I get a golf cart, Daddy? Dad, you're only 10.
Okay.
You got to wait two more years.
Yeah, two more years, son.
You won't be able to drive a golf cart with your thumbs broken like that, Kelvin.
Hey, by the way, I finally watched the season finale of Righteous Gemstones. Great season, I thought, huh?
Yeah.
I like how it ended up.
Very The Shining.
Yeah, Eric Andre frozen in a pond, about to get eaten by wolves. By the way, spoiler alert. Did they have another season, you think?
I'm sure.
I hope so.
Who knows how long it'll take them.
I thought it might offend evangelicals, or you know what I mean? Like it would offend a lot of people. But I think I heard Eric Erickson, the radio host Eric Erickson, talking about how much he liked it. So
my experience with evangelicals is they seem to find that kind of stuff funny, like making fun of themselves, which I find ironic. But
yeah, and I don't think that show makes fun of religion. I think it makes fun of
the people. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's completely out of the head of Danny McBride. So I don't think he's targeting anybody, you know, and all the people that kind of work for them that aren't, you know, related to them are decent people for the most part. So it's a good show. There's redeeming characters for sure. And of course, Baby Billy came back. So that's good.
His lovely singing voice.
And John Amos was in the final episode. I didn't know. To be honest, I love John Amos. I'd love to talk to him someday. He'd be a good interview if we could get him. Because he's done so much and he's such a good actor. I'd love to talk to him.
I think he lives in Georgia now.
Let's see if we can get him and talk to him about Beastmaster.
Russians.
Russians?
Those could be Russians.
Russians. Russians.
Putin? Voldemort Putin?
Tell Mr. Putin what you told me.
Next time I see Putin, I'm going to kick his teeth in.
I'm writing Vladimir Putin an angry email.
Before we talk about all the shit that we talk about, I thought maybe since we're all going to get blown up here in a couple of weeks and live throughout a nuclear winter, you know, you start finding recipes for how to eat your pets and stock up on anything, because we're at war. We're going to go to war with Russia. I'm afraid we're going to go to war with Russia. We were little kids in the 70s. We turned into teenagers in the 80s. And throughout the entire decade of the 80s, we were worried about nuclear annihilation with the Soviet Union. Well, the Soviet Union fell. We won. And then our government spent 25 years fucking it up. And now look where we are. Putin invades Ukraine and we can't do anything about it, or... Not to get political, we're just saying that there's been different administrations from different parties and nothing got resolved over the years. So I thought, well, let's take a look back to when it was fun to be afraid of Russia and talk about some of the films that we grew up on as Gen Xers that mostly we saw on HBO. And then as we got old enough, we could go to the movies and see them. Like, one that's super forgettable is a movie called Red Heat, with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jim Belushi. Also starred Peter Boyle, Lawrence Fishburne, Ed O. Ross, who always played a horrible Russian, Gina Gershon, and that's pretty much it. Pruitt Taylor Vince, who I think the last thing I saw him in was The Walking Dead when Jeff and I were down there. Anyway, do you remember at all the plot of Red Heat?
No.
I remember that it was a... Soviet police officer was coming to the United States to track down a criminal from Russia.
Georgia.
From Soviet Georgia. Jim Belushi was kind of his American tag-along in it, and you know, hijinks ensues.
Yeah, Jeff and I saw that in the movie theater, but again, forgettable, probably regrettable. Written and directed by Walter Hill. And that movie came out in 1988. We're not going any particular order on these. And any thoughts that you guys have that jump out at you, just, you know, put your hand up and tell me. Here's a classic one, 1990, film based off of a Tom Clancy novel, a great war novel. Tom Clancy did those really good Cold War novels in the 80s, and I guess a bunch in the 90s.
The sub we're after is called the Red October. He's under the command of a man named Ramius.
We're risking our lives here.
Look, Putin could have caused complications.
I present you the ballistic missile submarine Red October.
The Hunt for Red October. Sean Connery played the Soviet general who defected. Alec Baldwin in one of those young Alec Baldwin roles when, you know, he was, you know, fit and not angry or shooting people. James Earl Jones, Sam Neill, Scott Glenn, Larry Ferguson, Tim Curry, Stellan Skarsgård, Courtney B. Vance, all sorts of people were in this movie, and it was a good movie. I really enjoy it. I will watch that movie from time to time if I see that it is on. You guys have any thoughts on that film?
It's the only Tom Clancy book I ever read.
You read the book, okay.
Never read any other ones.
I always thought it was cool as far as them, how they made the movie. It was 90, so... You know, there wasn't going to be a lot of subtitles. And so you get like 5 minutes into the movie and it does like a close up on one guy's mouth. He's speaking mm-hmm. Russian, and then it backs up and then everyone speaks American English or with a British accent.
Yeah, I thought it did a good job, though, with capturing the book. I really got into Tom Clancy for a period when, you know, now he's dead. Right. So he doesn't write anything anymore, but they use his name. Red Storm Rising was the book that came out after. And that is a book about World War III between the Soviet Union and the United States. And that came out a couple of years before the end of the Cold War, the wall fell and all that. I was still in high school and I've read it a bunch of times. And it's a really fascinating story because he talks about stealth fighters and bombers before we even had ever seen one. And he knew about them because of his contacts with the government and stuff. So if you ever want to read an interesting novel that you've never read, get Red Storm Rising.
Are either of you homosexuals?
You mean like flaming or?
Well, it's a standard question we have to ask.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Stripes, of course, with comedic look at not only the army, but, you know, going into Czechoslovakia and fighting a bunch of Russians. And, you know, we all know the cast of that movie and how funny it was and how great it was to see those two actresses naked. You know what I'm talking about. Sean Young, right?
And
my favorite, PJ Souls.
Yeah, PJ Souls.
I would love to interview her too. So, I mean, I'm not going to be gross and offensive to her that I can think of. But yeah, Stripes is one of those movies that I can watch over and over again. 1981 that came out and directed by the recently departed Ivan Reitman. But just a classic comedy out of the 90s. Bill Murray, John Candy, Harold Ramis, Warren Oates as Sergeant Hulka, who's in the movie Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia. PJ Zoles, Sean Young, John Larroquette, John Deal. See Judge Reinhold in one of his earlier roles. Joe Flaherty, always funny. Fran Ryan, who was the old lady in the cab.
That first 10 minutes before they go to boot camp always cracked me up. I always thought it was really cool with Bill Murray being the cab driver on, you know, where he's just fed up with life.
Yeah.
And just finally snaps. You could tell he just, before he throws those keys off the bridge, he just kind of looks back and he looks over and he's like, fuck it. And he just throws them in.
Maybe I shouldn't have had all that cop syrup for.
I don't think I want to take you or your bags to the airport.
That's all you'll ever be, a bum.
Well, that hurts, ma'am. And I don't think I want to take your abuse. And I know I don't want to take you and your luggage to the airport. How about that, huh?
So many quotable lines from that movie.
Lighten up, Francis. Any of you homos try to touch me.
I like the first half better than the second half on subsequent rewatches. Once they steal that RV, I'm like, hey, I'm out.
Yeah. It does get kind of dumb, but there's still a lot of fun shit going on. But you're right. It is kind of like two different movies. Madcap chase movie at the end, but a classic you're in the army now type of satire at the beginning. But it still holds up, I think. Let's see. Here's a forgettable Clint Eastwood movie from the Cold War era, 1982's Firefox. And really the only person that I'm looking at the cast, and really the only person I know is Clint Eastwood. And here's the plot. Mitchell Grant is a veteran American pilot who becomes involved in a top secret mission to steal a high-tech Russian fighter plane known as Firefox, covertly entering the Soviet Union. Blah, blah, blah. He steals it. I watched it one time and then I don't remember it at all. So I probably saw it in 1983 or 84.
Yeah, whenever it hit HBO.
Yeah, we used to watch it on when HBO first came out. That was one. And I loved it because I liked the idea that the cool part about the plane, once he got into it, was it had some kind of like neural link to his mind. Yeah. So he could mentally control it. So he's very agile and he could outrun everybody. And it was like a close to the, what do they call it? Close to the ground, you know, escape from Russia to stay below the radar of all the anti-aircraft stuff. So it was constantly like going through mountains and I always, as a kid, I always thought that movie was really cool. And of course it was one that I could watch at my grandparents' house cause it had Clint Eastwood in it.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Tightrope in front of your grandparents.
Yeah. Every which way but loose.
Play Misty for me. Watch with them. I watched one of the last movies I watched with my mom's mother. My grandmother was Schindler's List. And she kept saying, oh, they're not wearing any clothes, are they, Tim? Nana, I'm 28 years old. I've seen some movie before, but it's really not the point of what they're doing. But I get you. Let's see, 1983. This is a television movie that I wasn't allowed to watch, but I started watching and then I got scared and turned the light on because the light will prevent you from being killed by a nuclear blast. And that, of course, we've talked about this in the past. The Day After, which was a nuclear, I say it like George Bush, it's easier, nuclear, about a war between the United States and the Soviet Union. The nuclear missiles fly, and this is the day after when nothing works. I can remember Jason Robards being stuck on a highway. And he's the main cast member. It also has Steve Guttenberg, Joe Beth Williams, John Lithgow, John Cullum. You guys remember John Cullum, right?
Yep.
And Wayne Knight is credited as Man in the Hospital. Big, big cast, a television movie. It was very memorable and very scary because it showed some really crazy shit that could happen if nuclear war happened. You know, you either burn up and die, you go blind from the blast, or you die from radiation, and it was really scary. Jeff, did you watch it?
I think we all watched it. What year did that come out?
1983.
Yeah.
No, the beginning with the newscasts.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was like, you know, breaking in, like it was, you know, and watching it, you know, at home and everybody, you know, gathered around watching it. It was, and me, I was 8 years old, but I remember distinctly watching the movie and it freaked me out.
Yeah, well, it scared the shit out of me and I was 13.
Yeah, everybody was talking about it the next day in school. I remember that.
Rocky, is the decision final?
Yes. Rocky. It's physically impossible for this little man to win.
There's been no mention of it yet, but how much are you making for this fight?
Money. It's not about money.
Has the fight date been set yet?
What I was told.
Where?
In Russia.
Are you nuts?
Here's a regrettable film, Rocky IV from 1985, Sylvester Stallone. His girlfriend, Brigitte Nielsen, and Dolph Lundgren playing... you know, the Russian guy that's got to fight Rocky. But first he fights Apollo Creed, kills him in the ring. And then, you know, it's a rah-rah America first type of movie. It was a lot of fun to watch when you were young and patriotic. I don't think it holds up. A lot of the other Rocky III I can watch with nostalgia and because it's campy and goofy. It's got Mr. T in it. It's got Hulk Hogan in it. But Rocky IV, I'm not into at all. You guys?
That's what turned him into Rambo, isn't it? When Apollo Creed got killed.
I gotta go get my friend.
I always liked that one just because it, and I guess it was, it was kind of that, you know, Hollywood sense of patriotism at the time, you know, mm-hmm. what they tried to push.
Well, Stallone for sure.
Yeah. And it was, but they tried to also, you know, by this time in the series, he's ready to go back to basics. And that's why he, you know, got that cabin and a barn and some rope. And that was what he trained with, whereas Drago was using the entire brunt of Russian technology.
And getting caught up with steroids.
Yeah.
My favorite part of that movie is the end when Gorbachev stands up. You know, the guy that's supposed to be Gorbachev stands up and starts clapping for Rocky, and all the Russians are yelling Rocky. Good movie, I guess. Rocky III is still my favorite non-Rocky. You know, Rocky's...
Yeah.
Separate classic film and a great film and probably didn't need any sequels. I love the money. And Rocky II, not really that good. Rocky III is just classic. Rocky IV, and then everything after that except for the Creed movie is pretty much shit. There's a couple more that are lighthearted, a little more fun. 1984's Moscow on the Hudson, which is the story of a circus performer from Russia who defects. And for the longest time, we think it's going to be Anatoly, played by Ilya Baskin, who was in a lot of movies in the 80s as a Russian guy. But it was actually Vladimir Ivanov, who's played by Robin Williams in the 1984 comedy, drama, whatever. Great cast in that. Maria Chiquita Alonso, Conchita Alonso, not Chiquita, Conchita. Paul Mazursky and another guy that played bad Russians throughout the 80s, Oleg Rudnik. Who else is in that movie? Oh, I can't believe I forgot this. Clavant Derricks, who was always playing that same type of character. He was a cool actor, comic relief. He was the security guard at the mall when Robin Williams defected. I like that movie. I think it still holds up.
Yeah, he was in Sliders, right?
Who?
Clavant.
You're damn yeah, right. Yeah, he was. Yeah. It's only getting 3 stars, but it has on IMDb at 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. Great film, though. I don't know why people like it. Very interesting premise. A lot of fun. Robin Williams with the beard and
played Yakov Smirnoff.
He wasn't in it, was he?
No, but he looked like Yakov Smirnoff in it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. He does. I'm looking at a picture of him. Directed by Paul Mazursky, too. I love Paul Mazursky. He was a great actor. He's the card dealer in The Sopranos when Jackie Jr. And his buddies try to rob the card game and they end up killing him. His name was Sunshine. Yeah, he's been in Hollywood for a long time. Good actor.
Excusez-moi, madame.
I speak English.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah, these Russians, they're chasing me. They were shooting at me. They're trying to kill me. Can you help me out?
Russians?
Far out.
There's another one that's kind of regrettable and forgettable, but I watched it so many times, and it's called Gotcha. You guys remember Gotcha from 1985?
Yeah.
These Russians are trying to shoot me.
I had a good cast. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the era of punks when they would literally spray paint their face with the makeup.
Yeah. You are a weirdgen. I don't remember that line from it. You are a weirdgen.
Was that the one with Avec Deloux?
With water, please. Yes, that is what that's from. Avec Deloux, vis water, please. Yeah, Jeff, you got this. Remember we did this for a little while? We walked around with plastic guns that shot darts. Anthony Edwards is the star of that movie. Linda Fiorentino as Sasha, who everybody fell in love with. Alex Rocco, we all know Alex Rocco. Joe Polnicek's dad, and also Mo Green. Other people who I don't really recall that well. But a good film overall, and one that used to be on HBO constantly. It's really, they're playing not laser tag, they're playing tag with darts, and they end up getting some sort of espionage in Soviet Union and blah, blah, blah. I remember he goes to East Germany and they strip him naked.
Oh, I'm sure you can find a couple of men you won't mind wasting.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry, my fault. I'm sorry I'm late. I had to attend the reading of a will. I had to stay to the very end when I found out I received nothing.
We're Americans!
Oh, here's another one that I don't think's that good. Spies Like Us. Great cast, not a great film.
Yeah.
There were some funny moments.
Yeah, funny moments for sure.
Aykroyd's wife, and they met on that one.
Well, they met on Dr. Detroit, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, she was in that as well, wasn't she? Yeah. From the one from Bosom Buddies?
Because Paul Stanley was dating her at the time. I was dating Donna Dixon, and she'd always disappear. And then one day, I read in the paper that she had married Dan Aykroyd. That really happened to him. He didn't know. Anyway, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd had a good song by Paul McCartney called Spies Like Us. Donna Dixon, Steve Forrest, Bernie Casey. Bernie Casey was Revenge of the Nerds, if you remember that role. A whole bunch of different people in this film, 1985. And, I haven't seen it in a long time. Maybe I'll give it a shot.
It was just an excuse for Aykroyd to play off Chevy Chase and vice versa.
Yeah, they didn't really do a lot together, did they?
No, not really. I mean, yeah, just specifically those two, no. And this one was just like every little trope that both of them had, been built up by that time. All the slapstick, completely absurd things that just were take you out of reality kind of stuff.
You never hear any behind the scenes stories about that movie. Like, I'd love to hear some, even though it's not that great a movie.
Ivan Reitman directed it, right?
All the shit they did for Caddyshack and all the behind the scenes stuff. They should do one for Spies Like Us. I wonder if like Chevy Chase was supposed to be in that, or if it was supposed to be Bill Murray or something.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, if it was somebody else.
Bill Murray.
That was John Landis. John Landis did that one.
John Landis, yeah, not Ivan Reitman. Yeah, it probably would have been better. All right, the last one before we get to the two that I like the most.
That's what Clausewitz was trying to say.
But you wouldn't agree with it?
No, sir. I just think that in the nuclear world, a true enemy can't be destroyed. In my humble opinion, in the nuclear world, the true enemy is war itself.
Which is 1995, this one came out. Crimson Tide, or Tony Soprano in a sub. I saw this in the theater by myself when I lived in, when I was going to grad school. Denzel Washington is the star. Gene Hackman, the co-star. And there's a mutiny. It's Russia has become our friend, but there is a rogue former Soviet general who wants to start a civil war and, nuke the United States. You know the plot. If you haven't seen it, it's a good film. Viggo Mortensen is in it. George Zunda. How do you say his name? D-Z-U-N-D-Z-A. Zunza? You know what I'm talking about.
Zunda? Sure. I don't know.
That guy. Matt Craven, James Gandolfini, Rocky Carroll. Great film. Like I said, if you haven't ever seen it, it's a good watch. And I highly recommend it. It's not as good as Hunt for Red October, but it is good. All right, the best two Cold War movies in the Gen X era.
Maybe you could tell us who first suggested the idea of reproduction without sex.
Your wife?
Total vision? I have you now.
We're in.
Shall we play a game?
Oh.
1983's War Games. Shall we play a game? Starring, and listen to this, Matthew Broderick, Ally Sheedy, when everybody was in love with her. No, this is before The Breakfast Club. You know, she was the cute next door neighbor chick who was in love with Matthew Broderick. John Wood played Dr. Stephen Falcon, who created the computer that almost started World War III. Dabney Coleman in prime Dabney Coleman era, playing a very Dabney Coleman-like character. You had Barry Corbin in prime Barry Corbin era. You know what I mean? I'd piss on a spark plug if I thought it would do any good. Who else is in this movie? A lot of different people. Michael Madsen is in it. I don't remember him being in it. Eddie Deason is in it. Probably one of the nerds that he worked with. Jason Bernard, he's in a lot of movies in the 80s. Character actor. And that's a great character actor film. Let's see who directed the movie. Directed by John Badamia.
Well, now, I would say they were way off course. This is very unusual.
Don't yell at my friend. I'll reach you.
Who are you?
Andrew Tanner, Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Air Force.
How'd you get yourself shot down, Colonel?
It was 5-1. I got 4.
Red Dawn holds up. Still a good movie. And I think if you haven't ever seen it, do yourself a favor. Last but not least, we are talking Brat Pack. We are talking everybody that, well, except for a couple of people, but a lot of people that we all watched and were entertained by in the 1980s. We're talking about 1984's Red Dawn. The premise is Soviet and Cuban troops invade the United States, and they somehow start in Kansas, which, and then try to work their way. I don't know what the why. But this movie struck right around puberty. So you're talking patriotism, you're talking I can jizz now, you're talking, well, I don't know, and you're talking all sorts of different things. 1984, we're at war with the Soviet Union, and you have a listen to this cast. If you're not familiar with it, you got Patrick Swayze, you got C. Thomas Howell, you got Charlie Sheen, who plays Patrick Swayze's younger brother, Leah Thompson, Brad Savage, who played Danny, the guy who said, "Why don't we piss in it? We'll get up here and how old? What's your name, Danny? Danny, get up here and piss in the radiator." You had Jennifer Grey, Powers Booth. Powers Booth played the Navy pilot who got shot down and rescued by them. And he had the classic line, "Shoot straight for once, you army pukes. All that hate's going to burn you up, kid. Keeps me warm." Of course, Jeff and I skipped school one day and watched it with a friend of ours who kept saying, "Grease them commies."
Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah, Harry Dean Stanton, Lane Smith, who was ubiquitous in the 80s and 90s. That wasn't he in, he's in Son-in-Law. Harry Dean Stanton. "Boys, avenge me!
Avenge me! Avenge me!"
Did you ever try and watch the remake?
Yeah, the remake was garbage.
I never even tried to watch it.
Don't.
Terrible, terrible, terrible film. Not good at all.
Don't even bother.
A lot of great moments in that film. And of course their whole premise is the guerrilla army and entertaining if you've never seen it. So that's just a little recap, but you got to wonder, well, you don't have to wonder. No movies like this are ever going to get made again because everything is run through one filter. So everything you'll get after this war, if we don't all blow ourselves to pieces, will be the heroic Ukrainians who threw out the Russians or the heroic Ukrainians who lost to the Russians. We'll know when it's over, but you kind of know now. I mean, you know now. Everything is astroturfed. So, thank you guys for indulging me. I just wanted to go down memory lane, even if it led to World War III. I'm really hoping that this winds up being nothing.
There's no real, you know, unless a superhero intervenes, it doesn't seem like there's a real,
you know, like the ghost of Kiev.
Yeah, the dude in the plane.
We don't know.
Yeah, this is one of those things that, you know, that like the Watchmen was made for, you know, what originally the nuclear deterrent was, you know, supposed to be that, you know, scares everybody enough to bring everybody together. Something like that would have to happen. And that seems like in an era where information moves so quickly now, and the last time we ever had to deal with Russia on this kind of face-to-face level, The whole world seems to be at least putting their two cents in, you know, at the same time.
Or are they? You don't know. You don't know. I look at everything as bullshit until it's proven. And, you know, whether it comes from one side or whether it comes from the other, I want it to end. I want it to end. And I want people to be able to live happily. I want to talk about Atlanta Pizza in Euro. They are at 1565 Georgia 138 in beautiful Conyers, Georgia, right there on the a little highway. It's always busy. Pull over, get yourself something to eat. We love that Atlanta Pizza in Euro is a longtime sponsor of Radio Labyrinth, our podcast. I want to say thank you to Mike Hall and everyone at the restaurant. We are going to come back this summer and do a recording, and we'll figure it all out. We're going to involve the audience. We want you to come out, eat some pizza, and be a part of a recording of Radio Labyrinth. We'll try to get everybody out there. They're gearing up for a busy spring with the return of Team Trivia. Listen, you know, the masks are off for now. We're going to go back into the restaurant. We're going to play Team Trivia. We're going to win house money. We're going to win, you know, it's going to be fun. Let's go play Team Trivia again, which is now on Tuesday nights. Bring your friends and enjoy the good food and great local craft beer selection at very reasonable prices. And Dustin's son works there, so maybe he'll take care of you when you're out there. Speaking of beers, they've just added Jekyll Brewing's Hop Dang Pineapple Habanero IPA on tap, and now offer Terrapin Brewing's Hopsecutioner IPA and Dogfish Head's Sea Quench Sour Ale in their craft beer lineup, just to name a few.
That beer we had when we were out there last time was real good too. I forget what that was called. Something Creek.
Yeah, all the Terrapin stuff they carry is really good. Mike always does a good job of bringing in a unique, you know, lineup of beers. It's always something new to try when you go in there.
I want to try that Hop Dang, that's for sure. Atlanta Pizza in Euro loves serving their local community, which is Conyers, Covington, and the East Metro Atlanta area. And they want to thank you for all their continued support and business throughout the years. They are open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday from 12 to 9, and closed on Sundays. That is Atlanta Pizza in Euro. Look them up online and order some food. Take it home. Even if you live on the west side, you know, get in the car with your spouse or your friends or whatever. Drive there. When you hit Midtown or downtown, call up, order, and then it'll be ready by the time you get there. Pick it up, head home, or go there and eat, and then you can bring home the leftovers. It'll work out any way that you like. And tell them that
Rick always sent you. There's some reason always to go to Conyers.
Yeah.
Just go out there and grab a pizza on your way home.
Ever since they shut down all the massage parlors, though, it hasn't quite the same.
Heard the latest news on the radio.
News. And now for the latest news.
All right. So the rest of the show, I'm going to talk like Sam Elliott because we got a lot to discuss.
First, did you watch that movie?
What, the one with the gay cowboys?
Yeah.
In chaps and t-shirts.
I watched it after it won all those awards.
Yeah.
And I was pretty disappointed. It was not a good movie.
It's a piece of shit. It's a fucking piece of shit. You got a bunch of these gay cowboys running around in chaps, assless chaps with no shirts on. They're always fucking each other. That ain't the old West. They're out there in New Zealand. What the fuck does somebody from New Zealand know about the old West? That's my problem with movies these days, is they don't stick to things like, there's this dude from that show Lost, that director. No, don't get me wrong. Lost was a good show. What does this guy know about Star Trek? First of all, Kirk never banged Uhura. Neither did Spock. And I'm certain that Kirk and Spock didn't fuck. Not to mention their shirts weren't made out of reflective material. There's all sorts of things. Now, you talk about Westerns. Like, let's talk about the Book of Boba Fett. First of all, Lee Van Cleef didn't have blue skin and yellow eyes, and he sure as hell didn't need a tube to breathe. I mean, look at these fuckers running around on hairy cows on a desert planet, by the way, running around shooting lasers at each other. By the way, people don't wear chaps in space. And just because it's a Western doesn't mean Timothy Oliphant has to play the marshal. There are a lot of other people who could play marshals. They got a female spaceship mechanic and all of her allusions to Jawa sex. Those little junk collectors you drive around, Tatooine on a toaster. I'm tired of all these movies where there's, you know, gay people.
That's what it sounded like he was saying. And I don't imagine that he is like that. I can't imagine Sam Elliott being somebody who's bigoted. Can you?
Well,
no, I think he,
go ahead.
I think he had the same problem with the movie that I did, because it was like wanting to make a statement about, oh, it was so sad that these gay men had to hide it. So like be so deep in the closet back in the cowboy days or whatever, but
they're so far back they didn't even have closets.
Well, he made the same, if you remember, he made the same public stink about Brokeback Mountain as well.
He did.
He was very offended that cowboys were, or people, you know, in that area were depicted that way, which is like, is not, you know, if it's something that you don't understand or don't, you know, you don't approve of it, then yeah, you're going to have that knee jerk reaction every time. But it's, this one just seems to be like just the regular jerk reaction.
Yeah. He was on the What the Fuck with Marc Maron, and Maron does a good job of deflecting away from it, I think, or trying to bring him back.
What do you mean?
Go ahead. Whoever's going to talk. Go ahead.
No, it's Maron does the same. Yeah. I was thinking Maron does the same thing. He don't want, he's going to pull it back around, at least try to change the direction, but it didn't seem like he was wanting to change what he was saying at all.
Yeah, you won't see Marc Maron throwing Steven Seagal under the bus on his podcast.
Who did that?
Rogan.
Really, what did he say about him?
He said he was fighting in Russia.
He joined the Russian special forces.
Fighting the Ukrainians.
Oh, I can't believe these two.
Well, and he showed the picture. Well, the picture that he was shown was a picture from a Seagal movie. It was a still frame from a Seagal movie. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, dude, I always figured that Donnie was gay, but I'm glad you didn't show him having gay sex, because I don't like movies about bowling that have gay sex in them.
Yeah, I don't even know about those movies, but what's it called? Something the dog, the power of the dog?
It's called power of the dog.
Oh, power of the dog.
Yeah.
I like Benedict Cumberbatch, and he's generally good in a lot of whatever he's doing. Whatever he's doing, he's good in. He played Alan Turing, and I thought he was fantastic in that movie. You know,
he's good in the movie.
Yeah.
But it's like the whole point of the movie is just like, who, you know?
Yeah.
We understand. We don't care if someone was gay.
Just make it a good story.
Yeah,
I mean, you can be gay all you want as long as it's a decent
performance. Was good though, because he was like such an angry person because he had to be so closeted.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I got to watch the last episode of 1883, or I'm going to go nuts. I love it.
I hear that's really good. I don't have Paramount Plus though.
It's good. Just watch it without commercials, because I have to watch it with commercials and it drives me insane.
All right. Well, Sam Elliott, that's enough. Speaking of shit, stuff that's goddamn stupid, Quentin Tarantino may direct some Justified reboot episodes. I was hoping I could be on that show, but I guess I won't be.
I don't know. Are they going to have the N-word in them every 10 seconds? Finally, somebody said something. Was it? Oh, no. Sam Jackson came out again and defended him, but then went after Rogan. I saw that headline. I didn't read the story.
Yeah. He just didn't. He didn't think Rogan was very sincere in what he was saying.
I don't think he was either. I think Rogan was saying, I don't think Rogan is a racist, but I don't think that, I think he just thinks it's funny to say. And it's not used for any sort of, it's not used for any reason other than he wanted to say it. Like Tarantino, when it's in a film, it's there for a purpose. And would say it's right or wrong, but it's there for a purpose. And generally, it's not a white person using it. It's pretty much always been Sam Jackson using it, unless it's, even in Django Unchained.
Unless it's him. I mean, like Pulp Fiction. I mean, watching a lot of these reaction videos that I do, and watching this, you know, a new generation of people, these millennials and or probably the Xennials, or watching Pulp Fiction for the first time, when it gets to that scene in the house when he's talking about the garage and everything, it's like, you know,
you don't take away from it that he's a big coffee guy.
No, that also you find out at the end of the scene that his wife is black.
Right.
And because of that, that's supposed to make it all okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he does it more for Quentin Tarantino does it more for the shock value at the time, as opposed to, I think, it meaning anything. I think that's the only reason he's ever used it, is just because it's a word that slaps you in the face. And for the longest time, given, you know, Hollywood's leniency on using the word, he would use it even when it was out of style to use.
Yeah, you're right about that. I think it really grabbed me. And you know, you could talk about millennials and zennials all you want. When that movie came out, it was shocking to me to see it over and over again like that. Mm-hmm. I expected it when the gangsters are talking. I didn't expect it when they're at a suburban house.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But anyhow, moving on.
Good luck with it. Larry David canceled his Larry David's documentary.
I still don't know why. I looked into it. I haven't found anything. But apparently there was a documentary about Larry David that was going to be on HBO. And at the last minute, yoinked it. What happened?
I think he just thought it wasn't funny enough.
Yeah. No, he actually yanked it because he thought at the last minute that he wanted to film it in front of a studio audience. He didn't want to do it without an audience to react to it. So he literally had him pull it. How much pull do you have with HBO that you can pull a show yourself the day before it airs?
He has a lot of pull at HBO, obviously. Because no one else, they would have told other people to fuck themselves, I think. Well, now we got to wait, and that'll never come out.
I found out like 20 minutes after it was supposed to start airing.
Yeah, you were going to watch it.
I was watching something else, and I was like, I'm going to watch that Larry David show after this. And then so it's like 20 after 8 or whatever, or 20 after 9, and I flip over, and I'm like, where the hell is it? And I texted Tim. I'm like, how come where's this HBO Larry David show? And Tim's like, I put it in the document.
Yeah, that's the only time I've ever been able to say that. 6 years, that's fine.
I had this document. I don't live in the document.
Yeah, you didn't reply with snark. I don't look at it every 5 seconds, asshole. Bendergate is over. So finally, we're going to be good to go with Futurama, John DiMaggio's.
Good news, everyone.
Good news, everyone. And that's good news. And I saw that. I don't really know what it's going to be about, but Tim Robinson got a pilot for HBO Max. It's greenlit. So
not just Tim. It's Tim and the other dude from the other writer and creator of I think you did leave. Yeah.
Awesome. So that'll be great. Anything Tim Robinson's involved in is generally going to be funny.
It's got computer school. I bet it'll be hilarious.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, yeah. He's got to go to school with his son. So that'll be funny. Let's see. I haven't watched when is Raised by Wolves come out? Wednesdays?
Yeah, Wednesdays.
Wednesdays.
And is there a South Park on tonight?
I don't know. There wasn't last week, but the new season is supposed to have started.
Well, yeah, we've had 3 or 4 of them already.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we won't be able to talk about Raised by Wolves, but because I haven't watched the newest one yet. But I'm still loving that show, man. I think it's so good. And I think I'm going to keep recommending it to you if you haven't yet. I will also recommend real quick before I have a couple plugs I want to make that you listen to Gilbert Gottfried on it's a couple weeks ago, maybe now, or maybe even last week, but Penn Sunday School. Have you listened to that? The 2 episodes?
No.
Yeah, they're really good. I love Gilbert, though. And you guys know that. I talk about him whenever I can.
Who died?
Who died?
Who died?
What's wrong? Who died?
What happened? Who died?
Well, as well him as another. And I ask him with my eyes to ask again, yes. And then he asked me, would I yes to say yes, my mountain flower. And first I put my arms around him, yes. And drew him down to me so he could feel my breasts all perfumed, yes. I said, yes, I will, yes.
Yes, yes!
I think Joyce is pretty hot too.
Rest in peace, Sally Kellerman, actress. Sally Kellerman, known best probably for MASH, the film, not the TV show, where she played Hot Lips Houlihan. And really for us, Back to School.
Yeah, that's what the most notable thing for me that I remember her from.
Same here.
Yeah, me too.
Love that movie. And you know, when I was young watching that movie, I thought, well, she looks like an old lady. Now you watch it, I'm like, damn. Yeah. Back to School, one of the best comedies of all time, if not of the 80s for sure. But she's great in that. Four. That was a terrible Rodney Dangerfield.
I don't take shit from anybody.
Oh, yeah? Fuck me. Fuck you.
Yeah, Kurt Vonnegut. Yeah. That was hilarious.
Stop and payment on the check. Oh, what a great. How the fuck did he get Kurt Vonnegut in the movie?
I don't know. That's awesome.
There had to have been Dangerfield pull, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Vonnegut shows up. All right. So, did I talk about this yet? That I watched a movie that I've been looking forward to seeing. It's called Worst to First, the Z100 Story. Scott Shannon is a legendary radio host, morning show host, created the morning zoo format. Okay. The morning zoo format is a top 40 station, but they talk and they interview people, and was one of the first big DJs in New York City. He got started before Stern got started doing that type of show. But this is a fun morning show. They do prank calls, take calls, interview people. And Scott Shannon is a legend in the radio industry. And I've been meaning the whole time we've been doing this podcast that I'm going to start talking to these people. And I figured better late than never. Let's get started. And he's, you know, we got Billy West, where Jeff and I spoke to him. And I figured that Scott Shannon would probably be best just me talking to him and geeking out on him. And the recording, by the way, I had a lot of fun talking to him. Each one of these guys has got this going on, and he talks like this, and he still does. And he hosts CBS Radio's the Oldies Channel in the morning in New York City. Worked for WPLJ. I started getting a little nervous and a little geeky toward the end, but the audio sounds like shit, and the video looks like shit. And it's because I didn't do it at home. I did it at the radio station, and I wasn't prepared. But what I'm going to do is try to fix the audio. And if I do, it'll be out. And if not, I'll have to write him an apology email and just tell you, if you're interested in radio or the 80s in general, because he was at this radio station, tells a great story about Madonna constantly dropping off tapes and bugging the hell out of them until they played Holiday and then she became a star. So they're responsible for making her a star. You know what I mean? So that's pretty awesome. But it is a good movie.
Can't you put Dustin in a little circle in the bottom of the video doing sign language to translate all the stuff that you say?
Yeah. Maybe. You can go and learn sign language real quick. Yeah.
I know how to say eat because we're teaching Gil sign language. There you go. So anyway, that's it. Check it out. It's a great movie. And if you like it. Yeah, it's not a great interview. It was a fun interview, but it's what I sound like. So he emailed me after it. I wrote him, said thank you, and he wrote back, "Tim, make sure you clean that up. It's got some rough patches." And now I know what he was talking about. Let's see. Oh, we got an announcement. You remember the guys we've been talking to, Josh, our friend Josh Warren, about the campaign. And well, the campaign is finally upon us. They are dropping an episode every single week, and you can find it on the Fantasy Network. And we'll put the link right here in the video, and it'll also be in the show notes. But finally, there'll be new episodes every week of the campaign. Check it out if you like wizards, witches, dungeon masters, and frivolity and laughter and murder. This is the show for you. But it's really well done show, and they're good guys. So give it a shot if you're into that whole genre.
These Dungeons and Dragons type shows are taking off all over the place. So hopefully, yeah. Though. Get some traction and get to make another season or more episodes.
Yeah,
I hope they get to that one I was supposed to be on, so I can.
Yeah, I know,
but that's not the only reason I support him. We're gonna try to get Josh back on soon to talk about it. I can't wait. He was busy tonight, but we'll get him back on.
Views.
Or.
And snooze.
Number one, Joe versus Carol.
Snooze.
The Tiger King.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to
interrupt. It's like if a Saturday Night Live sketch was stretched into an eight episode miniseries,
mm-hmm.
with John Cameron Mitchell he's on Shiel playing Joe Exotic and Kate McKinnon as Carol Baskin. I'd watch it just to see that.
Eight episodes. Yeah, that's what I was worried about. 8 episodes long. I mean, was Tiger King even 8 episodes? I thought it was like 6 or 7. But when I saw the previews for this, I thought Kate McKinnon was playing both roles.
Yeah. Listen, Tiger King gave us everything we needed from the Tiger King and Carol Baskins. Everything we needed is there. The sequel documentary on Netflix was shit. I wasn't interested. We got everything we needed. I don't know why we need this. It would have been great if it had come out, I don't know, maybe in 2020.
I don't know, though. I mean, the satire of Tiger King was, I think, self-contained in it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason to make fun of it. I mean, it's dumb enough on its own.
Why did they hire John Cameron Mitchell? I mean, he's a good actor and stuff, but David Spade or somebody should have been.
Yeah.
You know,
people don't really like David Spade anymore for some reason, although he does a great podcast, but you don't see him in a lot of things. It sucks because he's good at what he does. And he already did. Joe Dirt was really.
Yeah.
Tiger King.
You know, I don't like it when the people who raise dangerous cats are gay.
Yeah, always snooze wondering. On that one.
Country singers aren't gay.
I'm gonna watch at least the first episode. Just
let us know how it is. We got to follow up with. We always talk about him. We got to start following up. So if you can add that at the end of views or snooze, did you views or did you snooze?
Yeah,
cool.
Number two, this is one I'm really looking forward to. Our Flag Means Death on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
This is the new show from David Jenkins from People of Earth, and it stars Rhys Darby. As a pirate.
Nice.
And Taika Waititi is in on the, I don't know if he's a executive producer or if he's directed any of the episodes or whatever, but I think this looks like it's going to be good. This is the new What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, man.
He's supposed to be in the first episode too, I think.
Pirates.
Who's supposed to be in the first episode?
Taika.
Oh, I think he's supposed to be like Blackbeard or something. He's supposed to be some big pirate king or something.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It's definitely a views for me.
Yeah, me too.
Tim, did you say views or snooze?
Oh, absolutely a views, yes.
Yeah. And number three, The Boys presents Diabolical. This is that animated spinoff series of The Boys on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Is it out yet?
It kind of comes out this week. They sent us preview copies, but I didn't go in and watch it yet.
No, it's funny. Now we're getting all these advanced things.
Yeah. It's a views for me. I like the universe.
Yep.
And I mean, it's everybody that's in this one, they pulled in tons of people to voice this stuff. So it's got a huge voice cast. I mean, Kevin Smith does one of them. I know Simon Pegg also is going to be
there.
Yeah, that's definitely a views.
Definitely views.
Yeah, it's a views for me also. That's on Amazon. It starts this week.
I'll be checking that out. Thank you, Jeff. And thank you, Dustin. And thank you both for all the work you do on the podcast. Dustin doing great fucking job on the YouTube video, dropping in them clips, making it something you'd want to watch. So show them some appreciation and love. Give that video a thumbs up and share it with your friends and family. It's very easy. Just share and boom, there you go. We put it on any platform that you're on.
There's more people in the Radio Labyrinth Radio Shack than subscribed to our YouTube channel. So we got to fix that.
Yes, you're in the Radio Lab.
If you go into the Radio Shack,
yeah,
it should be a requirement that you go over and
subscribe. Start putting that on the acceptance questions. Have you subscribed yet? But yeah, there's like 60 of you in the Radio Shack, I guess, the way the numbers are. Yeah, just go and see if you haven't subscribed, or if you don't even go on YouTube a lot, even more so. Just go in there, hit subscribe, and just forget about it.
We have less than 60 subscribers. I thought we had more than that.
No,
but the difference.
The difference between them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have 461. We're only
almost halfway there.
Yeah, 539 video subscribers away from monetization.
Unleash your subscribe bot army.
Yeah. Hey now, let's get those accounts up. Nice Donk got 100 views. Radio Labyrinth with Billy West got 283. Let's get those bumped up. So anyway, thank you for doing all that hard work. And we're only going to get better. We're going to keep doing what we do. So I'm going to go back and make sure that I'm not canceled. Start working on my apology. And y'all have a great evening. Make sure that you keep it canon.
Yeah, keep it canon.
Keep it canon. What does that mean?